Father, we pray this morning, Lord, that you're going to speak to us some more about going in your name. We pray, Lord, that we know that this is a very special season where you are already demonstrating powers and signs and wonders and miracles. The greatest miracle is someone being born again. It really is. And we thank you for this. But we thank you too, Lord, for the signs and wonders and physical miracles that happen that accompany the preaching of the gospel. So talk to us about it this morning, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm very excited today because I've entitled this morning, Go for... No, don't leave just yet, okay? Go for miracles, signs and wonders. Go for miracles, signs and wonders. We started this morning, this is the fifth message in the Go series. So if you want to know what we've been talking about in recent weeks, hopefully by the end of this week, all of our recent messages will be up on our website. We had a few difficulties recently, but they should all be up there. So you can always listen to them on the computer, www.kfcc.org.uk, and all the messages get put up there. So you can download them on an MP3 player, or you can just listen to them. But they'll be there, by faith, by the end of this week. We've been talking about going with the gospel. And, when we started this morning's meeting with Daniel 11, verse 32, I'm just going to read it to you again. It says there, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But this is the second part of this verse. But the people who know their God shall be strong, shall stand firm, and carry out... and carry out great exploits. Now that's talking about you. God wants you to be strong in him. He wants you to know God. That's what the stronghold is all about in these 40 days for the men. He wants us to know him more than we do. He wants to give us revelation of who he is, doesn't he? He wants to give us revelation of the Holy Spirit's come to live in us. Jesus come to live in us through the Holy Spirit. That's what being born again is all about. Is that Jesus literally comes and he's birthed inside of us. His spirit comes. And we are new believers, aren't we? We become new believers. And then the whole point of our lives is for the rest of our days, as we give our lives to Christ, we're here to live totally for him. So every part of our life is now handed over to God. So we don't have lots of little boxes and God is one of the boxes, right? Sunday's a box for Jesus, but the rest is mine. No, when we become believers... the whole idea is that we give our whole lives to Christ, we repent from our sins, we turn to him, we receive forgiveness, and then we give our whole life to him. We need to tell people this when we ask them if they'd like to know Jesus. If they say, oh, I'd really like to know Jesus, I think it'd be a good idea if I receive him, or I'll give him a try. That's no good if they haven't heard that part of being a Christian is that you've got to give your whole life and dedicate your life to Jesus Christ the Lord. Believe in him and give your life to him. At that point, we're ready then to receive Jesus to really be the Lord of our lives. And this is the simple message of the gospel that we need to tell people and let people know so that they understand that being a disciple is about giving your whole life to him. Isn't it? It's about giving your whole life, your body, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your spirit, your heart, everything you give to him and you say, Lord, from this day forward, I'm yours. And what God does, he says, oh, I'm pleased with that. So he says, I'm pleased with that, Liz, now that you've repented and turned to me. Even if we have to do it 100 times, every time we give ourselves, he says, right, now I'm going to get hold of you. And what Jesus actually does through the Spirit, he actually says, you give me all of your heart, all of yourself, and I'll give you all that of my heart. I'll give you all that I am. And that's, for me, that's where the signs and wonders and miracles start happening. So if we're totally given to God, God will start flowing through our lives in what we say and what we do. And in this scripture, it's saying that those who know their God, anyone here know God? Mm-hmm. Of course we do. You know, if we give him our lives, we know him, but there's more of him to know. We know him so much, but then there's so much more to know. And that will be the rest of our Christian lives until we meet him face to face, that our Christian journey, our exciting adventure is finding out more about him every day, getting to know him more and more every day. Isn't that right? In a good marriage, you're getting to know your wife, your husband, more and more each day, each month, each year. You get to know them better. There's always something more to find out about them. That's right, isn't it? Married couples? That's actually how it's supposed to work. And you can go through some tough times, but the idea is, and God's plan is, that we should know one another more and more. And in a similar way, when it comes to God, God is so incredible, so great, that we'll never come to the end of knowing him. There's more and more to know of him and of his love and his purpose in our lives. They who know their God shall be strong, shall stand firm, and carry out great exploits. What's an exploit? How would you describe, what is an exploit? Something you do? Display of a characteristic, an achievement. Come on, Mr. Dictionary.
A great deed.
So doing something, and it talks about great exploit. It's talking about doing something great for God. Him doing something great through our lives. And that's what all of us in this room this morning, we've all been called to know God. Even if you don't know Jesus yet, God wants you to know him. Because he is the Lord of all. He created everything. And when he comes into your life, that's the most wonderful day for the rest of your life. So knowing God and then standing firm, being strong and standing firm as you get to know him. And then out of that knowing him and standing firm, doing great exploits. That's the call of God in this church. God wants us as a church to do great exploits in his name.
Amen.
Yeah, he does. He wants us to do great exploits. He wants to do great things in his name. He wants us to begin to dream big, think big. See the things that God wants to do. He wants to have vision. That's why sometimes God will give us words that you think, well, that's an incredible word. God, that you're saying to us, I want you to be a church of thousands in this town of Crawley. That's an amazing promise. That's an amazing word of God. That's up here somewhere. So God's going to help us to get there. And he'll do it by us getting to know him more together, by standing firm in faith, being strong in the Lord, being strong in the Holy Spirit, letting his power come upon us, and then doing great exploits in his name. If we have a whole church full of people doing great exploits in their workplace, doing great things for God, having a great prayer life, reading the Bible every day and learning what it's saying to you, listening to his voice and obeying what he tells you to do, that means that the people around us are going to be touched by great exploits, great things through our lives, through what we say and what we do. That means people are going to be healed. It means you're going to talk to people and start declaring things to them. And when you do that, God will actually act on your behalf. God will work miracles. I've seen this happen a lot. When we share the gospel with people and start talking to them at a personal level, and sometimes we'll pray for them in a particular area of their life. Let's say I remember praying for a family who'd lost touch with their long-lost son. He'd left in rebellion. They'd fallen out. He hadn't been in touch it was an incredible amount of time. It was about 20 years. He was away in Australia. They didn't know where he lived. And I remember we prayed in their living room. And they weren't Christians. I shared the gospel with them. I said, God will answer this prayer. We're going to pray that your son is... And she was absolutely... She was broken-hearted about her lost son. And we began to pray. And I just prayed. And we agreed. I agreed. They agreed with me. God will answer the prayer. And so we prayed in the name of Jesus that God call this son back to his parents, to his mum and dad. And do you know, it's a matter of weeks. It may have been 3 or 4 weeks later that this son turned up, because he knew where they were. They didn't know where he was, on their doorstep. Was that an awesome... That's doing a great exploit. That's a sign of God. That could be called a sign from heaven. And so it's not just about healings. It's about God doing all kinds of manners of different things, changing situations around. Great exploits. That's what God's called us to do. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 8. And verse 18, Isaiah 8, verse 18. It says here, God says, here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. And it says, we are for what? Say it nice and loud. We are for You know, we're too English in this church.
No, your Bible doesn't say the
same. Oh, what does it say in your Bible?
It says we are signs.
We are signs. Just say signs.
Signs.
We are signs, or we are for signs and wonders. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. So verse 18 of Isaiah 8 says, here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are signs or for... That's great, actually, that we are signs. We're like signposts. But we are for signs and wonders, not just in Israel, because God was talking to the people of Israel here, but we are for signs and wonders from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. So God has called us not just to be signs, but we are being called to release signs and wonders from heaven, from the Holy Spirit living in us, to those around us. So we are for God's signs and wonders. He wants his signs and wonders to flow through us to people out there in the workplace, in our communities, with our neighbours, with our relatives, and so on. Let's go to Hebrews. No, let's go to... Let's go to Acts chapter 6. We looked at this earlier this week, and it really fitted with what God was speaking to me about. Acts chapter 6. One of the things we're going to do today is we're going to pray for anyone that would like to be prayed for. And this morning, one of the things that we're going to pray, it's not going to take long, but I'm praying today. God said to me that we were to pray at the end of the meeting this morning, that God will impart... Through the prayer, he's going to impart grace to you for signs and wonders and miracles. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to see more signs, wonders and miracles. I hunger for God and I hunger to see him move more. And we're going to look at that this morning. And just to encourage us, if you just read here in Acts chapter 6, Acts chapter 6. What happened in the early church, after Jesus rose again from the dead and he went back to heaven, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, wasn't there? The day of Pentecost. And 120 people's lives were completely changed and transformed and empowered. And what happened was, when they started to preach about Jesus, signs, wonders and miracles started to happen all over Jerusalem. And we know the story we read about in the book of Acts. And just a little while later, not very long, but a little while later, as the church began to grow in their thousands... it says here in verse 1 of chapter 6, now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve people at tables. Therefore, brothers, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This was the apostles now. They said, this is what God has called us specifically to do. We must spend time praying for the whole church and praying about God's plan, because that releases God's kingdom power on the earth, and dedicate ourselves to ministering and teaching from the word, God's word, to teach them and inspire them the truth of God. But there was a problem here, is that as the disciples grew, there was a lot of, not just the Hebrews, but there were other widows here that were being neglected. And these were widows who were poor, they didn't have the benefit systems that we have today, and so there was a real lack. And they noticed that some were receiving benefit from the church and others weren't. And there was a real problem, there's an issue in the church here. And it was beginning to cause friction because there were unmet needs in the church with the widows. So the Hebrew, if you like, the Jewish widows, their needs were being met, but the Hellenists, this was another group, their needs were not being met. And they had the same need. They needed food on the table. They needed to be cared for. And the Bible teaches that we're to look after and to care for widows. That's one of the things that the Bible says we're to do. And so what the apostles did, they had a meeting. They met together and they said, what we need to do, they obviously heard from God about this, we're going to seek out 7 men. It's interesting, they start with the men first. You see that? They started with the men first. Seek out 7 men who have good reputation in the church and in the community. They are full of the Holy Spirit, and they have a lot of wisdom, and we're going to appoint them over this business. Now, it doesn't say how many widows there were, but there were quite a lot. And what these seven men were to do is they were to help to be very practical. They were to administrate, if you like, the collection of food, of goods, the things like the storehouse, that sort of thing that we run to helping people. They would have a collection as well, and they would gather it all together, and they would sort out how they were going to meet the needs and get the goods to these widows so that their needs were met. So they were looked after, they were loved by the church. So they didn't just come to church on Sunday and it was quick, God bless you, and off they went. But they wanted to meet their practical needs. That's what a real church is. That's what we should be like, where needs are being met. And it's interesting that they chose seven men, not just seven men who were good, who cared for the poor, but seven men who were full of the Holy Spirit, had a good reputation, and had wisdom. So that was a high qualification for literally serving some old ladies who didn't have enough food on their table. Would we do the same thing today? I don't know whether we would actually use the same criteria, but we should. So the apostle said, these are the men we want to put in charge of this very important ministry of literally caring to make sure that the widows received food and drink and the things for sustenance for their lives. Very, very practical. But they saw that spiritually this was very, very important how they did it. And it says, the apostle said, we're going to continue to pray and minister God's truth and word to the thousands that they now were responsible for in the church. And this saying pleased the whole multitude. And the people chose, Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. So these seven men were chosen to administer this this very practical need. And when they set whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Say, but this is just a practical thing, isn't it? Well, it is a practical thing, but it'll have a spiritual consequence. And so the apostles saw the importance of this, and so they saw this as a very, very real ministry. It was as important for these people as it was for them, for the apostles, studying the word, teaching God's word, and praying. So they laid their hands on these seven men, and what they did is when they prayed for them, something was imparted. So when they laid their hands on the seven men, God imparted to these seven men something that they hadn't got. Does that make sense? That's why we're supposed to lay hands on people. It's to impart something. So something was imparted. They were being commissioned, but God was imparting something to them. They were all men, certainly Stephen, more than all of them probably, says he was full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And you could say, well, why lay hands on them? They're perfectly in a good place. But God wanted to do something more. Anyone here want more? More of the anointing of the Spirit of God. And this is what happened. These men were hungry for more of God. And in this very practical area, Stephen could have been all spiritual and he could have said, no, I'm beyond all of that. I want to spend time in prayer and teaching the Word of God and doing other things. But he actually recognized that in his growth as a believer, there were some things that God was calling him to do at a very practical level. And look and see what happened. When they prayed, they laid hands on them. And it says, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So as a result of doing this very practical thing where there was a real stirring, there was a problem, quite a big problem developing in the church that was actually going to hold back the life and the witness of the gospel, when they put the practical issue right and they laid hands on the seven men, it says immediately afterwards, the word of God, the gospel, if you like, spread about Jesus, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. So there was a multiplication when after the apostles laid hands on these men for a practical duty. It's interesting how God works, because we often think, well, we just need to receive the power of God just to do the spiritual stuff. But actually, what we need is the anointing of God to do all of it. Amen? And it's interesting because what happened is that the whole church grew as a result of the apostles addressing a practical need, laying hands, that's the anointing of God, upon these seven men. And it says that the word of God spread. In other words, loads more became Christians and believers, and many signs and wonders were done. And verse 8, look at verse 8. Stephen, full of faith, so he's still full of faith, and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Stephen did great wonders and signs among the people. And if you carry on reading about the life of Stephen, he continued to preach the gospel, so he met the needs. He was doing something very practical. But what God did with him is that out of the anointing, of the laying on of hands of the apostles, Stephen, he was actually, there was a fresh impartation of grace power in his life, and he was already full of the Holy Spirit. What happened was he was actually enabled to do far more. Don't despise the day of small things. Don't despise the just making tea and coffee at the back, because it's not just making tea and coffee at the back. It's as important as me standing at the front on a Sunday. Everything has great value in God's kingdom. Everything. It's not one job is better or higher than another. It isn't. It doesn't work like that. God looks at the heart, and he's looking at the servant hearts that we have and where we're going. And so everything matters, the practical and the spiritual. To me, it's all the same. And it all needs to come under that anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so there's a tremendous release through Stephen. And we actually read that Stephen, out of his obedience and doing something very practical, he just took it as another opportunity just to move forward. I can imagine him going around these widows and laying hands on them and preaching the gospel to them and seeing signs and wonders. But he went on from there, and it says that he preached the gospel. And if you read about his story just in that chapter and the next couple of chapters, and you read how that Stephen was persecuted for preaching the gospel, and many signs and wonders were done through Stephen. And I believe a lot of that is linked to the fact that the apostles laid hands on him, and he actually, first of all, did something. He served at, if you like, a very basic level. But in serving at a very basic level, the Spirit of God was upon him, and he just got more release. It's amazing. Does that make sense?
Amen.
So don't be afraid of serving at a basic level in the church here. We all need to be serving at a basic level. We all need to be doing practical things. I picked up some people to bring them to church this morning. It's not beyond me. And it mustn't be beyond any of us that we're here to serve and to bless the whole body. But as we do so, what God will do, he'll increase that anointing upon our lives for the work that we have to do out there. Does that make sense?
Amen.
We are called for signs and for wonders. And Stephen had a great increase upon his life for performing miracles and healings and signs and wonders, and many people getting saved. You know, God has called us as a church to go out in our week, every week, in our workplace and wherever we go. We're carriers of the gospel. We're carriers of the fire of God's love. We're carriers of the most wonderful message that is on planet Earth today about Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins and he's risen and he's alive. And as we declare who he is, God will confirm those words that we speak with signs, wonders, and miracles of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
But we have to believe it. We have to actually believe what the Bible says is true. Because if we don't believe what Jesus has said, then when we tell other people about Jesus, nothing will happen. We just speak words. But if we understand and believe about him, when we're talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done, when we talk with faith, God will confirm his word through our lips with signs and wonders and miracles. And I just know that God wants to, we have it again, go up. He wants to bring us up. He wants us to be up there where he is. He wants us to be reigning in our life on this earth by knowing him in a deeper way, living the life full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith, and seeing signs, wonders, and miracles happening around us. Amen. That's what God's called us to be as a church. And just come with me to, let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I'm just going to read just a couple of verses elsewhere as well, just to firm up what God's saying, speaking to us about today. It says, Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to start reading at verse 1 in just a minute. But let me just read this to you out of Acts 15 and verse 12. It says, Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. So Paul and Barnabas were on there, they were missionaries, they were apostles, they were declaring the truth of God, and they were declaring how many signs and wonders and miracles God had done through the preaching of the gospel, through telling other people about Jesus Christ the Lord. Okay, are we in Hebrews chapter 2? It says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. So we need to give earnest heed to everything that we've heard God speak to us through the messages here on a Sunday, through reading the Bible, through other times as well. We need to give heed to everything that we hear and everything that we read about in the Bible, lest we drift away. And the picture there is of a boat literally being carried away with a current, flowing away in the wrong direction or flowing away from where it should be going. And God doesn't want us to drift away, to be carried away, to drift away. He wants us to have our outboard motor on the boat. He wants us to have our hand on the tiller, or whatever it's called. He wants us to be steering where we're going in God, and not drift. So don't allow drift to come into your life. Don't allow your Christian life to go into neutral. Don't coast. Put your foot on that accelerator and go for God. Activate your spirit and your faith every day. Activate your spirit and read the Word of God and put it into practice. Be obedient to the things God's saying to you. That's how to keep yourself from drifting. Keep your love red hot for Jesus. Never be ashamed to talk about him and to declare him to others. So it says, give the more heed to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? That's talking about Jesus, and was confirmed to us, the apostles, by those who heard him. And verse 4 says, God also bearing witness, both with, what does it say there? Signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. So, the message this morning is, as we don't drift away, but as we go with our relationship with God, as we get draw near to God, as we spend time with him, as we go every day for him, with the gospel of Jesus, with the good news about who he is and his love, as we go, God will also bear witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. God's wanting to use us much, much more than we are currently seeing. And it's not that God is unwilling. God is very willing. God's hands are open over this church, over Kingdom Faith, over his church in this nation. But are we willing? Have we repented? Have we turned to him? Are we living in that right place with God so that he can literally give us whatever he wants to so that we will do his will? Amen? That's the place God wants us to be. We're not drifting, but we're actually very focused and very purposeful. That God, I want you, please, to use me with your preaching the gospel and with signs, miracles, and wonders flowing out of my life. And this is what the writer of Hebrews was saying here, that God will bear witness to the gospel that we speak. He'll back up what you say about Jesus when you preach with faith. You have to step out the boat sometimes, or every time, when you're talking to people, but God will confirm those things with signs of his presence, those signs are supernatural things that God will do, wonders, awesome things that God does sometimes with people in their lives, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. So that includes healings and all sorts of supernatural things God wants to do through the Holy Spirit who's living in us. And then let's go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. Make no apology for reading this again, because God wants this to be in our spirit, this truth, these truths here. Acts 2 and verse 42, when the early disciples on the day of Pentecost were filled with the Holy Spirit, and that day 3,000 people became believers, received Jesus, and their lives were incredibly transformed. It says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And you know, doctrine, when it talks about doctrine, doctrine isn't just teaching the word. Doctrine is teaching the word with power. So doctrine doesn't say just say this is the word, but it says this is the word and this is how we do it. So doctrine, when they said what manner of doctrine is this that Jesus had, they weren't just talking about the words that Jesus spoke. They were talking about the things that Jesus spoke and the things that he did. That, to me, that's what doctrine is. And it says that we have to continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, listen to what the word says and do it, and fellowship, sharing our lives together, in the breaking of bread, that's what we're supposed to do as well, share meals together, communion together, not just on a Sunday sometimes, but in our homes, and in prayers and praying together. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. There it is again. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. And so continuing daily, every day, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God. They were praising people and having favour with all the church, with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. They were living under an anointing. They were living in the Holy Spirit's power, weren't they? As they were giving their lives to Jesus. And it says the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Every day people were being saved. Signs, wonders and miracles were accompanying the preaching of the gospel. And God is saying to you, he wants to do the same thing with you. Each one of us. He wants, as we declare who Jesus Christ is, by the way that we live and the things that we say, God's saying this morning, I want signs, wonders and miracles to follow you. Amen? One more scripture. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. We read this the other week. You'll know this scripture, these verses well. But the issue isn't how well we know the scriptures. The issue is whether we're doing them, whether we're working in a reality in our lives. That's the big challenge for all of us. Because in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said this to his disciples. We're his disciples this morning, aren't we? Amen? We're his disciples. We said, Lord, I'm giving my whole life to you. I want to serve you. I want to make my life count for you. And it says here, Jesus says in verse 15, go into all the world. Right, that's what we're to do. Go into all the world. The word there is go. Go into all the world. So Jesus is sending us into the world to preach or to proclaim the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done to every creature, every person. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. So we need to present Jesus Christ and explain who he is to people so that they can understand and believe. At that point, they can then turn to him and repent for their sin and be forgiven. At that point, they can hand their life over to him for the rest of their lives, dedicate their lives to him. And at that point, they can then receive, pray and receive Jesus Christ to come into their lives. That's what a Christian is, someone who has Christ living in them. And the Spirit of Christ comes to live in them and fill them. And it says, and these signs will follow. Just turn to someone near you and say, these signs will follow you. These signs will follow you. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. Just let that. Cast out demons. When did you last cast out a demon? When did I last cast out a demon? It wasn't last week. It was actually some while ago. Casting out demons. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. Do we believe in the name of Jesus? Do we really believe in him in the way that the Bible describes? He's living in us. If we do, then in my name, he says, you will cast out demons. Wherever Jesus went, demons manifest themselves. That's how you can tell. Don't have to go looking for them.
They will manifest themselves when we're walking in the power of God. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new languages, different languages, speaking in tongues, speaking in different languages. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And he was talking about when they went out with the gospel, they will go to places where there were snakes. They'll go to places where they could drink something that would do them harm. And Jesus was saying, listen, you're going to walk in divine protection. You will speak with new tongues and walk in divine protection. You will not be hurt. And you will lay hands on the sick. And what does it say there? They will recover. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I read this, I get challenged. Because I see some of it happening, but I certainly don't see it in full measure. So I see myself doing this. I visualize myself doing this. I pray and I declare these are the things that will follow me. Signs, wonders and miracles, the casting out of demons, the proclaiming of who Jesus is under the anointing of the gospel, that signs and wonders will follow me wherever I go. You need to do the same thing. Begin to see yourself in a new place where Jesus is walking with you. And because it says here in verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God, which is where he is today. Jesus is seated in heaven at the right hand of God, but he has poured his Holy Spirit out to come and live inside of us. And he says he sat down at the right hand of God and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. And he confirmed the word through the accompanying signs. So there we have it. That's what God's saying to us today. He's saying, I want you to go in my name. And as you go in the power and the authority of my name, I want you to believe and expect that signs, wonders and miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit will begin to flow through your life. Because those things are more about out there than they are in here. Those things are supposed to happen in our lives for the people out there. And this morning isn't the time to teach about the gifts of the Spirit. That's for another time. But God wants us to be empowered with his Spirit. He wants us to declare the gospel and start where you are. So start with your neighbours. Start with your friends. Start with your work colleagues. Start with the places that you already go to every week and ask the Holy Spirit to open up those opportunities where you are to preach the gospel, to declare who Jesus is, in other words. And the Holy Spirit will open up things for you. There'll be this person there, that person there, and maybe a group of people over here. He may direct you to go down into Crawley Town Centre and preach the gospel there and talk to people about Jesus. But what God says he will do is as we share within our areas of influence, because we all have areas of influence in our lives. As we are obedient to God, the Holy Spirit will come and God will confirm with signs, wonders and miracles of the Holy Spirit to back up who he is. Does that make sense? Jesus wants to use you to make him known and he'll back up your words of faith with signs, wonders and miracles in the Holy Spirit. Anyone up for this? Like all of us should be. I just want to invite you, just come down the front. I'm going to pray for you this morning. It's not going to be a long prayer, but I'm going to pray. I believe this morning that God wants to impart his grace power, so that in our daily lives, because this is a season of going in to possess, take hold of people and bring them to know Jesus. It's time to possess the promises that God has given to us. And that means that we need to begin to stand up in God. Be strong, be firm, stand firm in God. Know him. Those who know their God will stand firm, be strong and do great exploits in the name of Jesus. God wants to confirm his word with signs following. And he wants to use you. He wants to use us as a church. Amen?
Amen.
So if you want to receive prayer, we're just going to close with a song of worship. But I just invite you to come forward. I just want to pray for each one of you that the Holy Spirit will come this morning and he just wants to impart grace. So you just need to receive grace that the words that we've